Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. Natural gas bills will be $46 a month higher compared to last year. The Gen 40 has dual hybrid technology and will reduce your heating bill every month and save you money. Save $50 on the Gen 40 with code Howie50 at EdenPureDeals.com.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is Wednesday. We are cruising through this week, and there's a lot of big stories today. In fact, I am struggling here to decide which one to go to first. But I think, you know what? I think if I had to choose, Jared, what I'm going to go with is a before and after from the New York Times. But before we get to it, I want to remind everyone, the number, if you wish to call in, if you wish to partake in all of the fun we're about to have, the number is 844-500-4242. Keep in mind, I'm dealing with a lot of different stories breaking. We've got Elon might acquire Twitter again. We'll get into that. Herschel Walker and his Senate run. I finally kind of put my thoughts together on it, and I think I'll be able to explain where I'm coming from. And also Stephen Nelson doing some great reporting in the New York Post about the Secret Service. So I'm going to try to cover all of this in the first segment. If anything makes you want to call in, you can. 844-500-4242. But first up, I got to read you the best 180 I've seen in so long. And what I love about this is that a lot of times you'll get a headline in a publication like the Washington Post or the New York Times, you know, some of these trusted, real newspapers that are giving you the facts. And you'll get a headline, and then a couple months later, you get a headline that completely contradicts it. Like, for example, maybe you get a headline about how Tom Cotton is questioning the origin of the coronavirus, and they use words like fringe, alt-right, conspiracy theory. Then a few months later, you might see a headline saying, well, turns out they actually need to look into what the origins were of the COVID, of the coronavirus, and it could have actually been the Wuhan lab. That's the kind of 180 I'm talking about, where you kind of have to do a double check. Like, wait a second, a few months ago, I thought we were told that was a conspiracy theory. Well, this one was not just such a turnaround, but it was also warp speed. I'm talking like hours, okay? So here's the first headline, and it's by this guy, Stuart A. Thompson. And he writes an article, and it's titled, How a Tiny Elections Company Became a Conspiracy Theory Target. Election deniers catapulted a Michigan firm with just 21 U.S. employees to the center of unfounded voter fraud claims, exposing it to vicious threats. So they're going with the Ray Epps kind of narrative that because of these crazy, unhinged conspiracy theories brought to you by election deniers, and election deniers, that's code for Republicans, because if you're a Democrat and you deny an election, you're just doing your job. You know, you're just securing democracy against the Russians. But if you question an election and you're a Republican, well, you're an unhinged election denier. If you don't know that, I would suggest you try to keep up with the verbiage, okay? Get out your dictionary and try to keep up.
Speaking of catapulted, that's a nice one to add to the repertoire of seized, weaponized, catapulted.
Yeah, they catapulted it. And I like the unfounded voter fraud claims, exposing it to vicious threats. Again, We need to make this tiny elections company, by the way, that's an important key here, too. It's just a tiny little election company. It doesn't deserve to be put in the center of all this drama by these mean Republicans. OK, so let's read a little bit about this tiny elections company that's become a conspiracy theory target by the credulous boomer rubes in tinfoil hats. An invitation-only conference in August at a secret location southeast of Phoenix. A group of election deniers unspooled a new conspiracy theory about the 2020 presidential outcome. Using threadbare evidence, or none at all, the group suggested that a small American election software company, and I would go further. I wouldn't say small, Stuart. I would go with your original and say tiny, a tiny American election software company, Konec, or maybe it's Konec. I'm going to say Konec for the rest of this segment. So just keep that in mind. A small American election software company, Konec, had secret ties to the Chinese Communist Party and had given the Chinese government backdoor access to personal data about 2 million poll workers in the United States, according to online accounts from several people at the conference. So they were using threadbare evidence or none at all to suggest this, to suggest this conspiracy theory in order to target this tiny, innocent election company that became the center of unfounded voter fraud claims. All right, do we all have that down? Do we all understand? Okay, so let's fast forward. Now, the first one was written October 3rd, 2022. This next one is October 4th, 2022. So a whole day has passed. It's the same author, too. Sometimes when you get these headlines, it's a different author. You can't really blame people because there can be a lot of idiots and a lot of people who disagree at one paper. But in this case, we've got one guy who's writing both of these stories. So here's the follow-up. Election software executive arrested on suspicion of theft. The executive, Eugene Yu, and his firm, Konec, have been a focus of attention among election deniers. Oh, the election deniers that might have been onto something? The election deniers who had a hunch and it actually led them in the right direction? I would also edit this, and I don't want to play editor here for the New York Times. Far be it from me. I am not worthy. But this election software executive, I would say this tiny election software executive. You know, it's a tiny company. Let's not forget. So let's read a little bit about this. This is a whole day later, so a lot has changed, as you can imagine. The top executive of an elections technology company that has been the focus of attention among election deniers, because we were spooling out our conspiracy theories, was arrested by Los Angeles County officials in connection with an investigation into the possible theft of personal information about poll workers. Huh. Eugene Yu, the founder and chief executive of Konec, the technology company, was taken into custody on suspicion of theft. The Los Angeles County District Attorney, George Gascon, said in a statement, Konec, which is based in Michigan, developed software to manage election logistics like scheduling poll workers. The company has been accused by groups challenging the validity of the 2020 presidential election with storing information about poll workers on servers in China. The company has repeatedly denied keeping data outside the United States, including in recent statements to the New York Times. And there's no way that they would lie to the New York Times. But here's my favorite. Here's my favorite little bit at the end. Mr. Gascon's office said its investigators had found data stored in China. Holding the data there would violate Konec's contract with the country.
They were wrong before they were right.
So is Mr. Gascon one of those election deniers? Is he a Trump supporter? Because I didn't think that really lined up with what I've heard of him thus far. Is he one of these guys who's in this undisclosed location coming up with this conspiracy theory about the election?
Catapulting threads everywhere.
Wow, what a change up that was. Didn't see that one coming at all. And Molly Hemingway, and she's always on top of this, she said, wow, wow, wow. I have never seen anything age this poorly, this quickly by the New York Times' Stuart Thompson. Also, could adults stop using the Democrat propaganda term election denial to describe people with legitimate challenges to election administration? This is beautiful. I'm glad we started with this. This is just liberals in a nutshell. First, the story is these freaks are getting together and they're picking on this tiny election company that has never done anything wrong. And they're pulling things out of thin air. They're pulling threads from left and right. And it's wrong. And then the next day, well, there might have been some truth to it. Oh, okay. Are we going to get an apology, Stuart? Is anyone from the New York Times going to give us a little more of an update? How about a I was wrong? I'm always good for that. I always love a I was wrong. But you know what the arrogance is? And you can see the arrogance here. Is that he still can't help himself. Even in the second one, even in the reversal, he still has to say, election deniers. You know, he can't give up that much.
He doesn't need to issue any apologies, Grace. He's a down the middle, straight by the numbers reporter, clearly.
Oh, yeah.
From those two pieces.
There was nothing in that first piece.
The news changed.
I love how it says the executive and his firm have been a focus of attention among election deniers. Well, now they're a focus of attention from LA County. Now Eugene Yu is a focus of attention from George Gascon. So there's going to be plenty of attention paid to this tiny little company.
Another one of those Soros election deniers.
Oh, I love that story. We might have to go back to that later. That is really something else. 844-500-4242. And that's why no one subscribes anymore to the New York Times.
That's the truth.
You know, all these people are always trying to put together the mystery. Remember, speaking of Brian Stelter, when CNN Plus got canceled, we hardly knew ye. Brian Stelter had this segment where he was telling a guest, you know, we'll never really know if it was a success or if it was a failure. And then I found out that when CNN was just laying people off, Brian Stelter, John Harwood, all these people, I read this report that CNN staffers were trying to figure out what the pattern was. They were trying to piece together the puzzles. And I kept saying, I have a huge hot tip for you when you're trying to follow this treasure map. Ratings. Look at the ratings. That will lead you. You know, you don't have to be Nick Cage trying to uncover the Constitution or steal the Declaration of Independence by flipping it over on its side. Just look at the ratings. That will tell you what you need to know. And by that same thought process, I would tell people at the New York Times, if you need to figure out why no one buys your paper anymore, just check this out. Just check out these two stories by Stuart Thompson. It gives you a little glimpse into why no one trusts anyone at the Gray Lady. All right, now, when we come back, we'll take your calls, 844-500-4242. And I have to tell you all about Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles. Because, yes, Howie Carr has gone to Dr. Houghton forever. And he had his teeth done by Dr. Houghton. So did the mailroom manager. They both have wonderful teeth. Everyone always compliments them on their smiles. But I also go to Dr. Houghton for my cleanings, and I love everybody at Perfect Smiles. They are really the best in the business. They make you feel like a VIP. They make you feel right at home. And they're the best at what they do. There's just no question about it. If you're thinking of doing something with your smile, if you want to fix your teeth, if you just want to have a consultation, you really have nothing to lose because it's going to change your life. And if you're proud of your smile, it changes a lot of different aspects of your life. So if you've been listening to these commercials, you hear me talking about it and you keep putting it off, don't put it off any longer. Take care of yourself. You deserve it. Call Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. They're conveniently located off of Route 3. They have plenty of parking and you can reach them at perfectsmiles.com. The better you look, the better you feel. And like I said, this helps every aspect of your life. If you want proof, go to perfectsmiles.com. Check out the video testimonials. That will tell you everything you need to know about why this is the best decision. That's perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. We'll be right back with your calls, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. You can feel free to call in. It's 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls all day long today. Global unrest is battering the food supply chain and the energy markets, and it's incumbent on you to be prepared. So get ready with ReadyWise. Go to ReadyWise.com and use code GRACE10 to get 10% off your next purchase. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Do you think Elon Musk will finally acquire Twitter?
This has been a roller coaster, and every time I'm hopeful, and sometimes I think that my hope for things makes me vote in these poll questions aspirationally and not logically, because it's things I want to happen. I do want Elon Musk to acquire Twitter. But I don't know. I mean, he's played with my heart before, and it hasn't worked. But what the hell? I'm going to say yeah.
91% of the audience thinks, yes, he will finally acquire Twitter.
This Twitter ordeal has been elongated, you could say, Jared. Did you like that? That took me all morning to come up with. Thank you, Mitt. Well, Musk is renewing his offer to buy the social media platform. And again, Twitter employees are melting down. Like, how many? I guess it's a good thing.
How come they're still employed?
I guess it's a good thing. Well, they're still employed, Jared, because he hasn't taken over yet. You know, he's come close.
I thought they were going to quit last time.
No. They're kind of playing chicken with us. They're not really going to quit, but they are going to have temper tantrums and go on all these messaging. That would be my first concern if I'm Elon Musk, is I would say to people in the board meetings, I am a bit weary of the fact that every time this company thinks I'm going to take over, you all have so much time to go on these instant messaging apps on your work computers and message each other about how dumb I am and how much you hate me. Because I know it doesn't bother Elon Musk that those people hate him. Elon Musk has what a lot of very powerful people have, which is he has bleep you money and he has the ability to not care if people dislike him, which is one of the greatest strengths you can have. But that would concern me. I'd be like, I don't care if you hate me, but I do care if you're spending your time hating me. You're spending my time, my company time, hating me. Like, keep this offline. But these Twitter employees, they keep having meltdowns. They keep having temper tantrums. I almost think it's good, though. They're getting it out of their system. This is like the third or fourth time they've all required a safe space. And now a lot of people are saying, so he's gonna try to buy it for $44 billion, which was the original offer. And a lot of people are saying that they are noticing big drop-offs in their follower counts since news broke that he might take over Twitter yet again. And there, you know, the insinuation, is that Twitter HQ is trying to get rid of all of these bots before Elon comes in and takes over. Now, bots were a very contentious issue for Musk and Twitter because he feels that the value of the company is not true if they're being dishonest about the number of fake accounts on there. And a lot of users are robots. And if that's the case, then you aren't as successful of a company as you're claiming to be. You don't have as many actual users. Now, there's this entire back and forth with Twitter over the bots and whether or not they have to tell Elon Musk about how many bots they have. I will say this, though. Everyone's on this app over the last 24 hours explaining that, oh, you know, I lost 5,000 followers. I've lost 500 followers. They're clearing out the bots is basically what they're saying. I have not noticed a big drop in my Twitter followers. Now, the pro of that is most of my Twitter followers are probably real, which is good to know. The con is I don't know why the bot community has not taken a liking to me. I don't know why I'm left out here. I don't know what I've done to the AI community that they weren't following me more enthusiastically. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand that. It's their loss, though.
It is their loss. And you know, and now it might be too late. To all the robots out there, you might have missed your chance.
That's right. Not a bot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Don't come crawling back and saying, hello, can I follow you? No, it's over for you. You had your chance. 844-500-4242.
Dwight does not play a robot.
The robot community is not supportive of the Grace Curley Show. And that's unfortunate. because I think we could have worked together to make the world a better place. When we come back, I want to talk about Joe Biden's Secret Service problems and Tony Bobulinski. We've got a lot coming up on today's show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
I think that before we get into this piece from the New York Post, and I'm so happy that someone's finally talking about this, because this has been driving me nuts for the past year. And I know it drives Howie nuts, too. And it's the fact that Joe Biden goes to Delaware all the time. In fact, based off this piece, it says he spent about 28% of his days during his first year as president, partially, at least partially, in Delaware. And we don't have any visitor logs from the most transparent administration in history. We don't have any visitor logs. That's not allowed. But before I even play that, because it ties in here, is I have to play Joe Biden yesterday. He's at an event, and he's at the desk, and he's sitting there, and the Get Out girls show up. You know the girls. They show up, and they say, thank you, move along, thank you, Peter, thank you, moving out, it's over, thank you. And they prevent anyone from asking any questions, and they just shove everyone out of the room. And Joe Biden has a moment, and I always tell people this, don't feel bad for him, because underneath it all, when you peel back that onion, as sad as that onion might look right now, when you peel it back, there is a mean, angry, evil person underneath it all. And that has not changed. He gives us glimmers of it all the time. And so he looks at the media who desperately want to ask him questions. And I don't feel bad for the media either. I should make that really clear. I never have pity for the media because they got themselves into this mess. They sold their souls to get this loser into the White House. And they've done such a disservice to the American people. And yeah, should people have known better than to vote for Joe? Sure. But would it have been a little bit easier for people to understand who they were voting for if the media did even an eighth of what they're expected to do as reporters? Things would have been differently. Things would have ended up differently. So Joe Biden's watching the press get herded out like cattle. And listen to what he says. This is cut six.
So thank you very much.
Among the only press in the world that does this. Seriously.
The only press in the world that does this, seriously. So let's fill in the gaps here. Among the only press in the world that ask questions of their leader? Or are we among the only press in the world that expects answers from our leaders? What is he so amazed by?
I think we're among the only press in the world that, you know, is in a country where there is free press whose leader never talks to them.
Yeah,
maybe they wouldn't have to yell if you'd show up once in a while.
But I love Ramps. It. I love it. I love it. I love it. I savor these moments because I remember when Trump would take all of their questions and they hated him so much and they called him a dictator and they compared him to Hitler and Stalin and Mussolini. And they said he was destroying our democracy and he wasn't telling them enough. And he would go for hours back and forth with everybody, even the slimiest of the slime. He would take questions from Jim Acosta, Yamiche Alcindor. He would take questions from people who hated him and had no intention of asking him any questions in good faith. They were all gotcha questions. They were all, you know, when did you stop beating your wife type of questions? And he still took their questions and he still answered them. And these people in the media, all they did day in and day out was vilify Donald J. Trump because they hated him. And he made them all stars and he got them all ratings and he told them every question they had, he would answer it. And now, after selling the American people this idea that Joe Biden is this elderly grandfathery statesman who's going to restore normalcy, they cannot get as much of a sentence out of him. They must feel so foolish. And they should. They should be so embarrassed that this is what they've come to. That you're screaming questions at this old dude who not only is not going to answer them, he's going to mock you as you ask them. He's going to sit and smirk and mock you. Because he thinks you're so stupid that you would even think that he would deem it appropriate to answer one of your silly little questions. Are you happy? Is everyone happy with their decisions? Is this what you wanted? If it makes you happy, then why are you so sad? That's my question for the media. This is the most transparent person we've ever had. He's making all of our dreams come true. The press is flourishing under Joe Biden.
He takes questions all the time.
Yeah.
Three times a week sometimes.
He's Socratic in the way that he asks questions and answers questions, and you can't get enough of him. All right, so with that being said, there are still a few reporters out there who have been doing good work when it comes to this administration from the beginning. And one of those people is Stephen Nelson from the New York Post. Most of the time, if I like a story in the New York Post and I look up to see who wrote it, it's Stephen Nelson. Now, short of finding out that he used to work at Abercrombie and Fitch, I would say he's a very good reporter. But I cannot vouch for where he's worked before, so I don't want to go too far. That could still be an exception. If someone comes forward and says, hey, just so you know, Steve Nelson once worked at the mall and he did a good job and then he went on to be a reporter, strike all this from the record.
Yeah, pipe down, baby Gap.
Basically, though, what is happening is that the New York Post filed a FOIA, or as I like to call them, an onerous FOIA, because it's just such a pain when people want all this information. So they file a Freedom of Information Act for the visitor log from Biden's Delaware residences. You know the Delaware residences where he spends one-fourth of his time, where he spent one-fourth of his presidency thus far, that Delaware residence. And the Secret Service comes back. First of all, I like the idea of the Secret Service, like, pretending. It reminds me of when I was in middle school. When I was in middle school, I was a really, really bad student. In fact, I had to end up going into this group with, like, four boys, and it was called Study Skills. And they tried to teach us, you know, how to keep things organized and how to use a planner, because I was just a disaster. And I remember in middle school, though, when teachers would come around and ask for assignments, I'd always have to do the George Costanza and, like, furrow my brow and pretend I was really looking for something. Like, oh, man, hold on a second. Let me find the math homework, right? That's what you're looking for? Yeah, it's in here. I just had it. I would do that all the time. That's what I picture the Secret Service doing when they get this call. The New York Post is looking for visitor logs. Oh, yeah, where are those? You know, I could have sworn... We're not coming up with anything. Sorry about that. They actually say that they checked and they don't have any records that identify visitors. Whew. Now, this is outrageous. This is, again, the most transparent administration in history. You don't have to take my word for it. Biden's own best and brightest have described the administration as such. So we can't even know who's meeting with the president when he's in Delaware, which is, again, 28% of the time. We are not, we should not expect to know who he's meeting with, okay? When Donald Trump went out and got a steak, before he was even inaugurated, he went out and got a steak without telling the entire press and calling up, you know, the New York Times himself and saying, just FYI, going out to have a steak, you're not going to like the way I get it cooked, by the way. You're not going to like the ketchup I have on the side. The entire press corps went bananas. Is this what it's going to be like? A man who doesn't tell us where he's going and when he's coming back? But now we've got this dude going to Delaware all the time, and nobody even cares who's coming, who's going, doesn't matter. But I will say this. At least we know that Joe Biden doesn't have a habit of meeting with shady people. Oh, wait a second. You know what? He does. He does have a habit of meeting with shady people. In fact, he's done it a bunch. This is a guy who has repeatedly lied about meeting with his son Hunter's business partners when he was vice president. But we're just supposed to trust him now that he's president and he's in Delaware, that it's just him and Jill and Marianne in the sunroom talking about hamburger meat? Is that what we're all supposed to believe?
Marianne visited 17,000 times.
But remember, do you remember, Jared?
Oh, it's on the log.
Do you remember the unbridled enthusiasm the press had for transparency during the Trump years? It was like anytime he did anything, release the transcript! Hashtag release the transcript! I can't remember the last time I saw a transcript. We needed to know what he was doing, you know, what we haven't seen Melania in 12 days. What's up with her? Now Joe Biden can hide out for months and everyone's cool with it. Now they build fake White House sets. No one blinks an eye. It's really amazing. And it's not like Trump was 100 years ago, so I don't have something to compare it to. He was the last guy. He was the former guy, as they like to call him. He's lied about this stuff before. And in fact, it's a perfect segue for us because Tony Bobulinski was back on with Tucker Carlson last night. We're going to play you some of those cuts and we're going to talk about how the FBI had no interest in Tony Bobulinski's evidence about the Bidens. Maybe if Tony Bobulinski had said, hey, listen, I've got a Lego set in my house. If you call me, I'll let you in. I'll fill you in on some details. Or I went to a school board meeting a few months ago because I opposed CRT. Maybe then the FBI would have said, you know what? We're going to handle this. We'll show up tomorrow. But because he said, I have evidence that shows that the Biden crime family is a corrupt organization that is committing felonies, allegedly, they have no interest. They're like, yeah, we'll put that in the back burner. Put that right next to the Larry Nassar file. We'll get to that later. That's not pressing or anything. 844-500-4242. And while all this is happening, just to add a little sprinkle of more chaos onto this entire disaster, which is the Biden administration, we also have an economy that is struggling. And if you've checked out your retirement accounts lately, then you don't need to take my word for it. You've seen it for yourself, and I'm sure it was not a fun thing to look
at. Struggling.
Wall Street is in a downturn, and it's taking your retirement money with it, unfortunately. Now, there's inflation, there's a looming recession, there's higher interest rates. What do all these things have in common? Joe Biden. And I know that sometimes it can feel like when we're in the middle of these financial storms that you just want to put your head in the sand, but you really shouldn't, because the global economy is weakening and things are looking kind of scary. But this is the most important time to have a hedge to protect your retirement so that you don't lose any more money. You can actually be very proactive at times like this. And that's why our friends at Monetary Gold would like to send you two free guides. 5 money mistakes that could crush your retirement in the next 6 months. And the other guide is the 2022 Monetary Gold Protection Guide. Here's the thing about gold. During the high inflation of the 70s, gold increased in value 2,300%. And today you can now buy physical gold or silver and roll over your IRA or 401k retirement account. So there's a lot of things that you can do to diversify your risk, to protect your retirement in these uncertain times, and to really just, like I said, to have a hedge to make it so that you don't lose any more money. That's the goal here. Call Monetary Gold now to get your two free guides at 800-267-6500. Again, that's 800-267-6500. Or go to monetarygold.com/grace. These guides are free. You have nothing to lose. They're two free guides. And you might find some things in there that end up really helping you in the long run. That's monetarygold.com/grace or call 800-267-6500. We'll be right back with your calls and we're going to play some of these Tony Bobulinski cuts when we come back.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curly.
The show that doesn't take itself too seriously.
I have a joke for you.
Okay.
The government in this town is excellent and uses your tax dollars efficiently.
It's the Grace Curley Show.
Not a joke.
Coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk about Chris Cuomo's big debut of his new primetime show. We also have Ron DeSantis is back in the news after he blasted illegal alien looters after Hurricane Ian in Florida, reading there from the New York Post, and a lot more to get to. I also do want to address, again, the Herschel Walker accusations. We'll talk about that a little bit. I'd actually really like to know what people think. But before we get to any of that, Tony Bobulinski was on with Tucker Carlson last night, and you're not going to find a more reliable narrator and witness than Bobulinski, which is why when he presented the FBI with evidence that the Bidens committed crimes, that's why no one ever called him back, was because he actually could be trusted and he might be able to shed some light on the Biden organization. So let's play cut 15, please, Jared.
Your business partners with Hunter and Jim Biden, Joe Biden's son and brother.
Correct.
Both of them, Hunter Biden has received some coverage for his art.
I call it the Biden family because, as you know, it's been well documented. You well documented it. But I met with Joe multiple times.
Yes.
And now, subsequent to the election, he's now the sitting president of the United States. But there are hundreds of data points that Joe Biden was acting in a capitalistic term, I would say the chairman. The chairman of J.P. Morgan doesn't take 8 meetings down with the people, you know, analyzing companies. The chairman serves a purpose, right? He's a figurehead. He shows up at meetings, shakes hands, advises, you know, has faith in his team. Effectively, that was Joe Biden's role in the Biden family business ventures and around the world. And not just my venture. I met with him multiple times.
Yeah, and you'd think, since Bobulinski is more than willing to talk about this is his second time sitting down with Tucker Carlson, that Joe would have been asked about this guy at least once. It would have been brought up by, forget the FBI, but maybe by a reporter, maybe by just a random person on the street. Can I have cut 16, please, Jared?
Imagine this, to this day, 2 years, Joe Biden is yet to be asked, did he ever meet with me?
Not one time.
Not one time.
Now, Joe has denied having anything to do with all of these business dealings, these shady, corrupt business dealings that his son, Hunter, is always a part of. He denies it. This is what Tony Bobulinski had to say. This is cut 17.
How much did Hunter expect to make from his business dealings with the Chinese?
Yeah, so not only Hunter, I wasn't interested. They had to work on me for years to sort of, you know, call it come off the bench and get involved here. In the spring of 2017, I expected CFC was going to deploy billions of dollars through Sinohawk. And I was focused on taking those billions of dollars and making a return on it. And I expected to make hundreds of millions of dollars. I think the Bidens probably thought they were going to make billions of dollars.
How much do you think Hunter in the end got from this, from diverting this money? Do you think he received the money?
So he definitely received the money. I mean, the bank statements have been made public. You know, he received over $5 million and then I think an incremental $1 million in a legal consulting fee to represent Patrick Ho, which is a story in itself.
So this seems very cut and dried.
Black and white.
Yeah, it does. And it's unfortunate that the Biden family will never have to answer for any of this, really. Because there's just a disinterest in our media. They don't care. And I think one of the truest things that has been said over and over again is that the Biden family is everything. The media and these attorney generals and these DAs and these lawyers and these blue checks and these politicians, the Biden family is everything those people wanted the Trump family to be. Times 10. Beyond their wildest dreams. They couldn't even make up this stuff about Trump. And it's sitting there when it comes to Joe Biden. But alas, no interest whatsoever. When we come back, we're going to take your calls. We're going to talk about Herschel Walker and also some crime in New York, Carrie Lake. You name it, we got it in the 1 o'clock hour. Don't go anywhere.